This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. D-Lash on Twitter, on X, Dana Lash Radio as well. If you want to stay connected to her, that's one of the best ways to do it. All right, let me play this first, especially since in the intro there, Dana, as she's great at doing, talks about the ridiculousness of our taxes and how much theft happens all the time. And this deep dive into U.S. aid, it's incredible. But before we go there, let's play some audio. Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, telling us exactly what Trump wants to do with your taxes. Reduce them. Reduce the crap out of them. And the way they do that is they get rid of excess government spending. But here it is.
So these are the tax priorities of the Trump administration that the president has laid out for members in that meeting today.
Bring it.
No tax on tips, okay, which is obviously a very public campaign promise that the president made. No tax on seniors' Social Security.
Sure.
No tax on overtime pay.
Awesome.
Renewing President Trump's 2017 middle class tax cuts. Again, these
Rock
are
on.
The president's priorities. Adjusting the SALT cap, eliminate cool. all the special tax breaks for billionaire sports team owners, close the carried interest tax deduction loophole, tax cuts for Made in America products.
Rock on, especially the Made in America products thing. We're trying to create more things here, which would be good for us. And if tariffs ever became a reality in a lot of places and not just a negotiating threat, then darn it, it would be even better if we were creating a lot of things right here at home. But a lot of those priorities should be deeply popular with the American people. There should not be a lot of reason to think that people wouldn't love a lot of that happening. And yet the way in which so many in media or elsewhere talk about Trump is like he's reckless and crazy and everything's about to be horrible for us for some reason. Let's move on to more of what's so fascinating about the public campaigns against Trump, even just nominees. So Russell Voigt was reelected to a position he held before, the director of OMB. So that's the Office of Management and Budget. He was in this role from July of 2020 until January of 21, even though media would act as though this is the first time he's even grasping at this sort of power and he's going to abuse it and be horrible. My favorite version of this was probably the random Democrats just getting up and yelling during the vote on whether or not they would confirm Russell Voigt as OMB. A couple pieces of audio. It's quiet in the background because they're not supposed to be yelling stuff out. But you can hear Democrats trying to argue instead of just vote yes or no, which is what they were doing yesterday.
I vote no to the man who wants to...
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted during a vote. The senator will suspend.
Stop.
Mr. Kelly.
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted during a vote. The senator will suspend.
You need to
Mr.
just vote.
Mr. Kennedy. Mr. Kim.
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted during...
They just kept going. Actually, Pocahontas got into this too. Elizabeth Warren.
Ms. Warren.
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted during a vote. The senator will suspend.
Just vote yes or no. You can say no if you want. We don't need the rest of this. How great would it be if in an argument with someone that you don't want to be in, where it's okay if you disagree, my opinion and yours are never going to match, but the other person doesn't understand that. And a lot of people in our society seem not to understand that we're allowed to not agree on stuff. If you could just throw out pursuant to this rule, we're going to have to stop talking.
Ms. Warren.
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted during a vote. The senator will suspend.
I might try this the next time I'm in an argument with the loved one, maybe the missus, and see how that goes. And I imagine I'll be in a lot of trouble. Pursuant to Rule 12, no more arguing. We've reached the point where we're just going to agree to disagree. Now, who is Russ Voigt, by the way, is a question you might be asking yourself. As I said, he's someone who's already had the job that he's going to have again. Media describes him as the co-author of Project 2025 because they want to scare the crap out of Democrats, or at least Democratic voters, who seem way too easy to scare. I know they've probably always seemed that way, but now more than ever, the amount of fear taking over some individuals seems to be nuts on almost any issue. You could barely say anything. Maybe just say the name Elon Musk and people will go crazy. It seems. But here is something that Russ Voigt said back when he sat down with Tucker Carlson before he was actually re-put into the position he's now in again. And he was asked a simple question. If you do what you actually want to do, which is disrupt all of the egregious, ridiculous, conspiratorial spending, whatever you want to call it, going on, the horrible things that happen within our government, and people are shouted down, how dare you say that, because you can't possibly be true, even though what we're learning about U.S. aid spending demonstrates so much of this is true. So many of the conspiracies that people thought wind up being facts. But here's what he said he would actually do, especially if confronted with a resistance from that machine that doesn't want him to take away all their sweet, sweet cash, their sweet money. Here's how Russ Voigt will respond.
But that's going to cause a lot of turmoil within these bureaucracies, and you got to fight through it. And then they're going to overlay the aspect of, oh my gosh, you guys are racists, and you know, you guys don't care about us as people. You know, you're going to have to deal with that too, right? They are, you know, one of the arguments that they're using in the press against me right now is they say, he called for trauma within the bureaucracies. Yeah, I called for trauma within the bureaucracies. The bureaucracies hate the American people.
Yes.
They want to put a 77-year-old, and did, a 77-year-old Navy veteran in jail for 18 months for building four ponds on his ranch to fight wildfires. That's not the Department of Justice. That's the EPA.
That's evil. That's horrible. And that's the point. And yes, cause trauma to the bureaucracies. And this is what's funny to me, I guess, at least a little bit. Most Americans agree with this part. They care about who tells them that something is broken or something is corrupted or something is, you know, wastefully spending our money at the very best. At the worst, it's doing much worse than just accidentally spending it wrong. But at the best, that's what's happening in a lot of these government places. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Many Americans believe that's true. But when Elon Musk sets a certain set of people on U.S. aid to dive into all the ways that that money is getting reallocated and moved and spent in just horrible ways, all of a sudden people are flat out rejecting this idea, screaming about it. Probably the best case of this, although granted wasn't screaming, was Brandon Gill, a rising Republican out of Texas, talking to CNN's Pamela Brown. During the interview, and I cut out at least one of these, but there were three or four of these, after mentioning that the U.S. aid corruption goes very, very deep and dollars are being spent on ridiculous things in a bunch of other countries, including transgender programs well beyond the United States, CNN wanted to make sure that Brandon Gill knew, we're going to fact check you, buddy. How dare you? And so here's at least one of those mentions. But as I said, there were several of them.
We're also doing a fact check on what you said. My producer is doing that right now. But I want to ask you something, because I know.
I want to know and I want to see. By the way, Brandon went on to say, we're not sure if we're going to believe said fact check, because you guys don't exactly have a great track record with that. But the interview goes on, several more minutes, several more mentions of, we're going to make sure you're telling the truth, buddy. And then eventually she admits the thing he said was accurate when the producers can't find a way to debunk it.
Well, what's unprecedented is spending our taxpayer dollars on left-wing partisan political projects all over the globe. That's what the American people are focused on.
Yes.
This is a result of this election. This is a result of President Trump getting a very clear mandate from the American people to get rid of this kind of nonsense from our federal government. And we're doing it more efficiently than we've ever been done, than awesome. It's ever been done before. And again, the fury that we're seeing from the other side of the aisle isn't about this waste. It's not about paying for left-wing activism on the other side of the globe. It's that it's being exposed finally. And that's what the American people want.
By the way, absolutely yes. I want the receipts. I've always wanted the receipts. I hate the conversation. I'm going to play her admitting that she fact-checked and he was telling the truth in just a second. But I want to just say this. I have always told all of my friends who might look at me like I'm a little bit naive, not by telling them they're wrong, because if someone throws out a plausible conspiracy, you don't have to look at them and be like, no, that's not true. And the reason it's not true is because what? But you can ask them to prove the thing they just said with an amount of information that typically will probably be kept from us, hidden from us, so it became an impossible discussion. You can say, I believe this is happening. I have every logical reason to see all the different ways in which this corruption is happening over here, but I just can't prove it to you because, of course, the people in power refuse to give us those receipts. That's now changed. That was the most exciting thing, at least in my opinion, of Trump getting back into office a second time. And I would say this to people who hated Trump, who loved Trump, regardless of any of the reasons that you might, you know, at least say out loud, well, that wasn't the perfect way to do this. That wasn't the perfect way to handle that, whatever it might be. I would say that this version of Donald Trump, this version of President Trump, is more motivated than ever to cut through all the crap, to put people in positions of power that will actually affect change, and to out the corruption within the government, more so than 8 years ago, more so than, you know, at any other time before a bullet was shot at his head. So it's incredible to see it actually happening. And by the way, here is the fact check admission.
Certainly want more transparency about everything, right? About how taxpayer dollars are being spent and about what is happening within their federal government. I do want to note that they have done gender activism in South Africa to gender-based violence and promote women's empowerment. It's not possible, though, to verify the millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars being spent. But USAID would say...
I love that, too. We gave them a lot of money. We can't verify the exact amount they spent on this and the amount they spent on other stuff. By the way, Ukraine is even saying they've lost a bunch of the money we've sent them, which doesn't seem good. But they did do it, and honestly, we'll just move on. But she spent the entire interview assuming he had lied. Because that's the other thing. When you don't like the messenger, you reject the message and assume it's a lie. And when you find out it's true, your brain still can't seem to handle that, as what happened on CNN with Pam Brown as she was interviewing a rising star in the Republican Party, as he's often described, Brandon Gill out of Texas. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Everyone knows that wasteful government spending and printing more money is exactly how we get inflation. And inflation is what makes our dollars worth less and our goods and services cost more. And to make matters worse, our printed money gets regularly sent by the billions to other countries. I'm inclined to fully protect what I've worked for because Uncle Sam is certainly not doing it. And that's why I've added gold and silver as a hedge against inflation and part of my family's financial preparedness. While politicians are engaged in slap fighting and overspending, I'm making sure that my family is prepared on the financial front, and finding a precious metals company you can trust is no easy feat. And that's why I turn to Goldco. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today and get your free gold kit from Goldco. Also discover how to land up to $10,000 in bonus silver just for safeguarding your hard-earned cash. Don't wait. Tap into that American DNA and take matters into your own hands and visit DanaLikesGold.com. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for a Quick Five. My name is Craig Collins, filling in for Dana. You can find her at DLash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. Let's fire some of these off. America is abandoning DEI. Actually, also, you saw the NCAA finally change its rule on transgender participation in women's sports, meaning you're not allowed to participate if you're not biologically a woman. There seems to be some issues there, as obviously we've talked about for quite some time. What I think is really interesting about these headlines or these, you know, actual things happening, and some are because of executive action. Actually, both of these are probably mostly because of executive action. But it does seem that the companies, the organizations are accepting the idea that when Trump won the popular vote, there's a lot of Americans who don't agree with the craziness that's been going on for a certain number of years and the insane stuff being said. So that certainly has value. The NFL, one of the only holdouts. You are likely to see some DEI things during the NFL, big Sunday Super Bowl that we have coming up. And that's just their own decision, but it'll be something that they resist. One of the most buzzed about, talked about commercials that you're going to see during Sunday is the Seal commercial, where the singer actually looks like the animal, which is weird, and then sings a song that he's famous for singing with some of the lyrics changed. That's one of the more bizarre moments. And even some, I think, sharks that pop up at one point, and Seal seems to be afraid he's going to be eaten. A weird commercial, but that'll be something you'll see during the Super Bowl Sunday events. Also, just other quick stories out there. There's a chocolate recall that has a high risk level, according to the FDA, for certain amounts of consumption could cause all kinds of harm, including death. Chocolate death is something that was trending on X on Twitter I think People Magazine, People.com, which is what I'm probably supposed to call it now, were the ones to put this out there. The FDA warned that consumption could cause death, which is great. Ye Farms dark chocolate walnuts is one of the items that's out there to be careful about. Very helpful in that world for us. And then one last one for Quick Five. A fake dental assistant in Middletown is facing 36 months in prison because you're not allowed to do that kind of stuff if you're not actually licensed to do it. Shocked when she found that out. No, I'm kidding. The woman in Pennsylvania is luckily going to be thrown behind bars for just impersonating dental assistants and performing functions without a license. I wonder if she did a good job or not. That's one thing I was curious about, because I'd go back and probably have a lawsuit if she harmed me. But if she did okay as a dental assistant, I wonder if I'd care. I assume most people will care, but who knows? All right, quick break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Achieving vibrant, youthful skin doesn't have to be complicated. With the power of Native Path Collagen, you can nourish your body from within and enhance not just your skin, but also your hair, your nails, and help your gut health. By incorporating Native Path Collagen into your daily routine, you can promote a plump, radiant complexion, reduce signs of aging, and boost your overall vitality, all without any unnecessary fillers or additives. Native Path Collagen has only type 1 and 3 collagen, the most important types, making up 90% of your body's collagen. No artificial sweeteners, just pure third-party tested goodness. It's completely flavorless, so you can just add it to about anything, your coffee, your smoothies, oatmeal, or whatever you want. And the best part is that Native Path's peptides formula makes it more bioavailable, so it means your body will absorb it easily. Start your journey to healthier skin today. Get nativepath.com/Dana and stock up on Native Path collagen and save up to an incredible 45% off plus free shipping. Every order includes a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free. Don't miss out. Head to getnativepath.com/Dana.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. To stay connected. Secretary of State Marco Rubio deemed that only 294 U.S. aid staffers are actually necessary to run that world, to run that agency. How many do we have? 14,000. So we would like to remove almost all of the people that are doing this job, 13,700 and change, six, and just have 294. That would be amazing. All of these things that you talk about doing, reducing taxes to the degree that maybe they don't exist at all, if tariffs are something that could actually fulfill that role. A part of it is just weeding out all the excess spending. So mainstream media's response to groundbreaking story after groundbreaking story, or just, world-shaking admission of corruption over here, corruption over there from USAID, is to complain about the people that Elon Musk had look into this, including one guy that has a hilarious name, mostly because CNN had to say it on TV. Here we go.
Yes. So this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online. So that would be one way that we could refer to him. He is now working at Musk.
I don't know what he's talking about, by the way. It might be basket, base. There might be all kinds of things that's in reference there.
Behest inside Doge. And we looked into his background. And so we found, several notable things, Aaron.
CNN, out this guy who's one of the tech wizards that's figuring out how all the worms are hidden within U.S. aid and the way that they fund over here, over there. Tell us how evil and terrible this person is.
Which is that this individual has founded multiple companies, including one with another unfortunate name, Tesla.Sexy LLC, which he established in 2021. Uh-huh. He would have been around 16 years old. Now, this LLC controls dozens of web domains.
Oh, it controls web domains. It's horrible. And it's apparently a fan name for Tesla. The guy now works for Elon Musk. And again, even though he's 19, apparently he's really good at technology. So let's crap all over him. And then also mainstream media will remind you again and again and again that USAID does some good stuff. They don't just do good things, as we're finding out, but some of the things they do are in fact good. And I love how mainstream media or legacy media or whatever you want to call it refuses to admit that we could still do good stuff and not all the rest of the things that are terrible. Joe Rogan, brilliant interview with Brett Weinstein. They talked about several of these issues. At one point, Rogan ran through some of the excess spending, and this was just a pull up on the internet of a short list, and deeper dives will be necessary. But here's some of the things that he mentions at the beginning of this interview that we're actually paying for via taxpayer dollars through U.S. aid. And what legacy media would tell you is just the good that's happening around the world and nothing else.
USAID, $20 million for Iraqi Sesame Street.
What?
$2 million for Moroccan pottery classes. $11 million to tell Vietnam to stop burning trash.
By the way, $2 million for pottery classes? Those better be amazing classes.
$27 million to give gift bags to illegals. $27 million. $330 million to help Afghanis grow crops. Crops. I wonder what those crops are. What's their biggest crop, Brett?
It's going to be the opium. Poppy seeds for
it's
bagels, I'm
opium!
Thinking.
There it is.
$300 million, oh, $200 million on an unused Afghani dam. $250 million on an unused Afghani road.
How do you just throw away $250 million? By the way, I'm aware of what you're thinking. That it's all just corruption. None of this money goes to the places it's said to go to, and it all gets, you know, cleaned and filtered and sent back into government bank accounts. And I'm not disagreeing with you on the likelihood of that. But right now, even just the outing of the excuse spending, the no, we spent this over here, or we spent that, we wasted this $250 million to try to create something that inevitably failed. This is, at best, again, wasteful spending. And at worst, something very different. And people like this young 19-year-old coder are diving in and finding where all these rabbit holes go and making mainstream media and the politicians very, very mad. There was one more moment with Rogan, and this was exceptional as far as identifying how things move into certain areas. There's actually money going to George Soros from our government. He gives money back to them, but there's a line item that mentions this.
They gave $27 million to the George Soros Prosecutor Fund. So our own government is funding this left-wing lunatic who is hiring the most insane prosecutors who are letting people out of jail who commit violent crimes.
And that's exactly how this racket worked, is that the ability to tax the American public and then effectively get us to pay for being propagandized, for being surveilled, that
for just being screwed. I don't know if there's an easier way to say it. I think that would be it. We're just getting, hand and fist screwed on a daily basis from the federal government. And they know it. By the way, since George Soros gives a whole lot of money back to politicians, I don't even know why you write this check other than so that he can immediately hand it off to someone else. And again, I'll mention this other thing, and this will probably matter more and more as we get more of this information, because no matter what you think of Elon Musk, I don't even have to talk about President Trump, to be honest, because media is obsessed with Elon Musk. And no matter what you think of him, the desire to give transparency to how your money is being spent is not controversial. It's not crazy. It's a good thing. And the only way for them to reject it is to crap all over the messenger and then not talk about the message. But this is happening again and again and again. And all I keep thinking to myself is how many people want this? And it's got to be most of us. It should be all of us. I can't imagine I'd have an honest conversation with anyone in this country and say, hey, would you like to know how these dollars are being spent? And then look at me and say, no, I don't want to know. I trust them. They can do what they want with that. That would be like just giving tons of money to someone that you know has made tremendous amounts of mistakes and hoping that it goes better this time. Like, it'll be okay. I have definitive proof that you've made horrible decision after horrible decision, but let's just give you a bunch more and hope that things go better. And I don't want any information about how it actually occurs. I don't want to check in at all with how you're using those dollars. By the way, as all of this is going on, as Democrats and mainstream media are trying to push the freak out button and get people to just go crazy and complain You also have Maxine Waters just yelling at a federal employee outside the Department of Education because she wasn't allowed in. Here's this.
Look them in the eye. Come on, hold your face up. Look at them. Let them see you. This is him. Look at it. What's your name? Tell us your name. Give me that ID again.
Giving you the idea, I shared it to you.
So what?
I showed you the idea.
You do what?
I showed you the idea.
Okay, I got to be honest. If you're going to shoot a video as the crazy politician who is willing to fight whoever it is, at least verbally, that you're trying to expose, and you're Maxine Waters, it's not a great look when you can't hear. So it takes three shots for him to say, I've showed you my ID. You asked for it when you walked up to me. You weren't on camera then. You're whoever, probably a young person that works for you, then pulled out the cell phone and is trying to shoot a version of this on video. But I've already proven to you who I am. So legally, we're in a good spot. I don't have to do anything else. And you're just demanding my ID so people can come after me online for your craziness.
Let
continue.
Let me see the ID again.
Let me see it.
Huh? No. No? Will someone else ask him for the ID? Will you ask him for it? He won't let me see it again. You didn't see it.
I haven't seen it.
I love that all the people with her are like, I haven't seen it. Somebody show me the ID. I need to see it. Because we need to attack you, sir, someone who is literally just doing their job of preventing people from going into a building that's currently, you know, not one they can access. There's so much of that in the world. Honestly, here's what I think happens. This is my genuine belief. People wake up, especially politicians, but a lot of individuals in our society wake up right now. And the first thought they have is, who am I going to fight today? Not why am I going to fight, which would be a much better thought to have. Why do this? You know, what is at stake? Those kind of things are not the question. The question is, who's going to take my anger? Where am I going to send it? Because it's getting sent regardless of if it's deserved. And I'm finding someone that's needed to be slapped in the face, verbally or otherwise. And then they go out in the world and they do this. And they think they did a good job, by the way. Maxine Waters is probably very proud of herself for yelling at a dude in front of a door today and putting that online and trying to get his name out there for people to attack him on social media, people who really don't have an interest in doing anything other than being loud and not actually being active. One last thing I need to play before we take a break too. Gavin Newsom did a CNN interview, of course, the governor in California, supposed to be an heir apparent in the Democratic Party, although haircut doesn't really seem like someone that's well-liked even in California, which says a lot, by the way. If you're supposed to be a Democratic power player and you have a negative reputation in a state like California, you gotta assume things aren't going to go well. I think the biggest reason people don't like him is the fact that everything he says seems to be bullcrap. It seems like he's very proud of the lying he does. But let's do this. He basically said during an interview on CNN that California will prevent people from building certain homes in the Pacific Palisades because science and climate reality mean they're not allowed to do it. Even if an American decided to build a home somewhere, understanding the risk, attempting to get, you know, insurance for said risk, even if that's getting harder in a lot of places, including California, the state will jump in and be like, you know what? No, we can't have this happen here. And these are the reasons why. This is the beginnings of infringing on freedom. These are the things that people are afraid of. This is the line in the sand that you're saying, I can't let you cross government. Because once you cross it, things get worse for both of us. And it's happening. And it's been happening for quite some time. I'm sure people are yelling at their radios how COVID did that again and again. But here we go.
You previously mentioned the timeline for rebuilding would be 6 to 9 months. Is that going to happen? And should people rebuild in some parts of California, given how high the fire risk is?
Yeah, you can't rebuild the same. So we have to rebuild with science. We have to build with climate reality in mind. We have to look at infrastructure, redundancy systems, ingress, egress as it relates to emergency management and planning, materials, all of that.
We have to say no. We have to tell you you're not allowed. And then he actually goes on to say how debris needs to be cleaned up in all of the horrible parts of California that had the wildfires. You know what's fascinating about that? And I'm sure I'll get yelled at by somebody, not here, not within, you know, the radio world in which I live, but some listener out there will be irate in this. When you talk about cleaning up, Trump, our current president, often says that the crazy amount of debris in the forests in California or anywhere else is part of the reason that these fires go crazy. And now the Democratic narrative is that they have to clean up the debris from these wildfires so that they don't have more fire. So essentially admitting that if you have a bunch of kindling, a bunch of just tinderbox of stuff sitting around ready to catch fire in the off chance that there's another bad thing that happens, that it makes it worse. They're admitting the thing that they've denied for a long time and made fun of because they know that it's actually a reality. It's actually true. Fascinating to hear them do that. But if Americans aren't allowed to rebuild somewhere because California says no, even understanding the risk, that is a dangerous thing for us to continue to allow over here, over there, and everywhere else. And they know it. And they know how Americans will respond to that. And what's really interesting is in a lot of these parts of California, it's their base of voters. It's the Hollywood elite. It's people who, you know, campaign for the Democratic Party. They might be told they're not allowed to rebuild their house. I wonder how they'll take that. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
This is, you need to just bookmark this website, allfamilypharma.com/Dana, because when you use that website, you get 10% off using promo code Dana10. If you're tired of Big Pharma, if you're tired of the, it's like insane. You know, like if you get sick, like for instance, over Thanksgiving, I was sick. I knew that I was getting strep throat. My throat was on fire. I knew I was sick. One of my college kids came back sick. I got sick from him. He was already on antibiotics. I've been down this road before. I know I'm sick. Do I have to go and pay an astronomical copay? That's if I can even get in, you know, to my doc. That it's a mess. And I have family coming in. I don't have time to be sick. All Family Pharma, I know exactly what I need. And they have doctors that will evaluate it digitally. And, you know, you can even do a telehealth thing with them if you want to. But they have doctors that look over your prescription, look over the medicines that you're looking at, and they sign off on it, and you get it sent right to your door. And if you need it next day, which is what I did, you can actually do that as well. It's affordable access. There's no red tape and no hassle. And these are not Chinese antibiotics. I know you would think, you, a lot of people assume that, oh, that's probably Chinese. No, no, they're all made in the USA, which is actually kind of rare. So these medications are made right here in the United States. So you know you're getting high standards of quality and safety. You don't have to worry about, you know, communist Chinese medicines. And that's what makes All Family Pharma so different from everybody else. And they empower you to take charge of your health. And they've helped thousands and thousands and thousands of patients all across the country. And again, no red tape, no hassle, fast and convenient delivery. I had azithromycin. I mean, you name it, you can get an antibiotic for it. Go to allfamilypharma.com/Dana and see everything that you can access, and use code Dana10 to get 10% off your purchase. Protect yourself and your family today. allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10 for 10% off.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio, two great ways to stay connected to her on X, on Twitter, all the time, putting stuff up there. I saw a breaking story of a reporter getting burned by a little kid. So a reporter in Oregon at a television station, KDRV, which, by the way, I had to do a double check when I saw those call letters, because there's a fantastic affiliate for The Dana Show, KURV, which is out of McAllen, Texas, and just crushes it. Sergio Sanchez crushes it too every day. And they'd never make a mistake like this. They'd never air a bad word. They're professionals. But KDRV out of Oregon, a television station, not exactly so great. Although I guess you wouldn't expect a little kid doing an interview about power outages and fires to go a certain road language-wise. His parents are probably not thrilled today.
We're playing cars. All we heard was like a big boom, and then we just were shook, and we didn't know what happened, so we went outside, and we were like, oh, there's a fire. And then I went to go grab my dad's fire extinguisher and gave it to him. Uh-huh. Someone called the cops and the fire department, and that's all I heard.
By the way, my favorite part of this video, again, KDRV out of Oregon, not fantastic radio affiliate, KURV out of McAllen, Texas. My favorite is when the kid says the bad word, the professional reporter seems unfazed, does nothing, just continues going like, yeah, well, that makes sense that that would be the word you use. But the two little kids standing next to the little boy being interviewed, including a young girl, give huge smiles. They're like, oh, we're all in trouble. All of us have done something wrong. Although maybe authentically, that's how they reacted. I can't get over the nonchalantness of this, though. I imagine dad is in trouble right now because maybe some language has been used. Maybe one of the two parents, for some reason, I assume a dad has been the one using it, and maybe mom has been upset about it. One more time, though.
My sister were playing cards. All we heard was like a big boom, and then we just were shook, and we didn't know what happened. So we went outside, and we were like, "Oh, there's a fire!" And then I went to go.
Oh man! By the way, I also know the amount of media that kids absorb now has terrible, terrible words in it. Maybe that's why you should pay attention to more radio things and not all the horrible stuff that's on YouTube and the internet. Because kids are learning bad stuff daily. This would be one of them. But great interview, by the way, and terrible, terrible journalism from KDRV in Oregon. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners are bringing you the program. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec. If you have not checked out the new 5.7 that they came out with, you got to. It's the latest and greatest from Kel-Tec. And they've changed concealed carry in 95. Now they got the PR-57 rotary barrel pistol. It's chambered in 5.7. It's just redefining the game. It's the lightest, literally the lightest 5.7 I've ever held in my ever-loving life. It's 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7. It has a top-loading design, so it replaces traditional magazines with literal stripper clips. That gives it a slimmer carry profile. And you also got a 20+1 capacity. It's kind of insane and awesome all at the same time. It's built to perform when it matters. And it's engineered for simplicity and reliability. Quickest and easiest field strip that you can get. And MSRP is legit $399. It's only $399. That's insane. I mean, yeah, you can get it. Go get it. It's the PR-57, the new one from Kel-Tec, KelTecWeapons.com. That's where you can go to learn more. K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter to stay connected. This is hilarious. Kamala Harris showed up at the Laker game the other night. She was expecting people to be overjoyed to see her, and it went viral when no one really cared. Very, very few people even clapped. And I have the audio. I promise I didn't manipulate this to make it sound worse than it is. There's no need to do that. This is awful. That's my own clapping. That's the amount of people in the audience you're seeing like, yeah, you're here. We're thrilled to see you. And it's very, very few. And this is, again, in California. This is in L.A. During a Laker game. The talk of the town probably was not her, but Luka Doncic or anyone else that's become a brand new Laker. I just thought that was hilarious. She's walking in. She's waving. She's acting like she's a big deal. Nobody cares. By the way, and I'm sure you've probably heard audio of this by now, but some of the more amazing things that have been outed between Harris and her sit down with 60 Minutes, I include this moment, and it's kind of cool. You get two things at once. First, you get an inside look at how TV is created, and even news television, if you're not aware of it. There's a moment where they need to take a reshoot with Harris still sitting there of a question that was asked to her, a question that she did not really answer and didn't make the show in general, at least the edited version that wound up on 60 Minutes. But what I like even more than that, and the reason I've kept the question in, is after a long pause for them to turn the cameras off after they got what they needed to create the heavily edited thing that we eventually saw, he actually asks the question for real, and Harris can't answer it. And it's a pretty easy question. But again, by this point, the cameras were off, so why even try, I guess. But here we go. Here first is the question that gets asked. And again, this is the TV crew asking for this to be repeated, so they have a clean shot of it.
Can you be talking?
Yes, sir.
Well, we were talking about how you're going to pay for it. And I mean, I truly do mean it. Your plans are logical, make logical sense.
Mm-hmm. Do they?
The way Washington works is not logical. So how are you going to convince a divided Congress that what you say, your plans, are something that they should all agree to and provide to the American people when they've shown no inclination to do that?
Yeah. They're not going to be able to pay for all of it, much less not going to be willing to agree to pay for all of it, which is his slanted version of a question. But yeah, not a bad question to be asked. Again, they were just doing this for production purposes. So after about a 30-second, 40-second delay, where she's not even attempting to answer it because she knows she doesn't have to, He says this right after he's told the cameras are off.
How will you?
It's going to be taxes. It's going to be literally, if the economists, I mean, they're...
But I hear what you're saying about the economists. This is true.
Yeah.
But
the mercy that comes out of people to immediately say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and interrupt you as you're struggling even off air to answer a very simple question from me. How are you going to spend and fund the ridiculous amount of programs that you intend to place? Even if I support them, we know Congress won't. We know we don't have the money for that. And Harris did say taxes, which you know would be a deeply unpopular answer to give on television, even if it's the honest truth. Hiking those taxes up, baby, raising them for all Americans, especially since people with very good, you know, tax professionals, these would be people that are well off, are probably going to be able to avoid more of those taxes than the rest of us. So truthfully, the taxes go up on the middle class, on anyone that could potentially vote Democratic, believing it's going to be better for them and not worse. And it goes exactly the wrong way. But that was the best answer she gave. Taxes and, you know, other stuff. I can't fund it. The truth is you can't do it. And you're making wild promise after wild promise to a group of people that think you're helping them, when in reality, you're probably just going to embezzle and hide all that money anyway if you actually get funding at all. By the way, as I mentioned that, I do want to keep talking about USAID and all the different ways that media and some of these representatives are trying to reposition what's going on. If USAID goes away because it can't be fixed, there's too many broken pieces to it and it needs to be mothballed, it doesn't mean the United States wouldn't still be a philanthropic country. It's actually insane for people to pretend this is true. And there are scenarios where if we knew our money was actually going to something that would benefit the world in some way that the American people would support, I'm sure there would be a, you know, a very easy vote on exactly this money going for exactly this cause with appropriate checks and balances to make sure it's not misused, wasted, or just straight up stolen. But that doesn't matter. The UN did a press conference the other day in which they essentially said Elon Musk is going to kill 6.3 million people. They didn't say it exactly that way, but that's what they want you to take away from this statement, regardless of how true or completely made up it is.
We have 5,000 public health worker contracts that are funded by U.S. assistance, and all of these in all regions of Ethiopia have been terminated. And 10,000 data clerks, very important in Ethiopia, so that we continue monitoring and ensuring that people are on treatment.
Okay. The data clerks being important to make sure that someone who's been prescribed medicine takes their medicine, costing millions of dollars, does sound insane. I'm just being honest. I'm sure a lot of people would believe that. And I doubt the data clerks are just doing that work, if they're even being paid at all.
So as UNAIDS, we estimate that if PEPFAR wasn't reauthorized between 2025 and 2029, and other resources were not found for the HIV response, there would be a 400% increase in AIDS death. That's 6.3 million people.
We're going to assume this. We're going to project this, that if we don't get millions of dollars for us to put into IT, at least that's what we're claiming, 6.3 million people die. And again, my the thing that's most interesting to me, I don't want to call it my favorite part. I'd often say it's my favorite part of the audio, but nothing's my favorite about discussions like this, to be honest. But the part of the audio where she lets you know that there's obviously a way to circumvent this horrific thing that she's projecting happening being a reality is to make direct funding promises for certain programs that actually do help people throughout the world. I understand America first. I believe in America first, but I hate the argument that's often made by Democrats that you're just bad people. How dare you? How dare you want this to happen over there or that to happen in this country? And how dare you won't use any of the resources of the American people to help with that stuff? And that's simply not true. However, an honest conversation would have to happen, and a necessary amount of checks and balances would have to exist for the American people to truly entertain what we do other places. And I think we need to stop forgetting the amount of need we have here in this country in order to do that. If there's something wrong going on at home, yes, many Americans, I assume almost all Americans, would support us making sure that we can fix that problem here in the United States before we look elsewhere. And that's where, again, all of these corruption, you know, worms, as Elon Musk called them, things are just happening. And I know it's sort of a semantic argument to even make it, but I just think it's so stupid when the need to vilify the side that's trying to clean up wasteful spending is out there. They need to vilify Elon Musk. They need to accuse him of being willing to kill 6 million people in order to convince others that he's doing a bad thing, even if he's taking millions and millions of dollars out of the pockets of the corrupt. It doesn't matter. One last thing, and I do just want to play part of this audio too. It's kind of crazy. There was a, I think, 3-minute rant by a Democratic politician out of Texas complaining about Elon Musk and all the horrible things he's going to do. But again, when you shape it a certain way, when you shape the narrative a certain way, when you know you're being actively dishonest, which politicians do every day, every hour, maybe every minute, I just wonder how they walk away from the podium being like, I did a good thing right there. I did a great thing right there. And you assume the only way they do that is if there's a giant wad of cash in their pocket, which is the selfish reason they'd say this stuff. But here's some of the latest crapping on of Elon from another Democrat popping up on television.
Can agree that your elected representatives should be representing you. Your government shouldn't be run as a corrupt grift mill.
Correct.
For a billionaire.
Well, wait a minute.
This
Which
is a
billionaire?
National emergency. In the aftermath of the election, many Democrats needed time to soul search, to grieve, to think. Uh-huh. But that time has ended.
We need to barrel right back into the mistakes we made that made Americans not vote for us in the first place.
And that time ended when Elon Musk took control of our country's financial nuclear codes.
Okay, I gotta stop. I also love because of the ridiculousness of it, the need to mention nuclear codes. You remember that with Trump in the whole first term in office, that they were terrified that he was going to nuke another country. And like, how dare we give access to the nuclear codes to Donald Trump? And now they're saying the financial nuclear codes about Elon Musk, because they have to fearmonger in the most insane way possible. And this Democrat, this Representative Cesar, actually, I think, hopes that someone misunderstands him and says Elon Musk has access to the nuclear codes, not his, you know, comparison of saying that Elon has access to our financial information in a way that would hurt all of us. So they immediately grandize whatever they're talking about because it's affecting them, and they pretend it's affecting you and it's not. And actually, if what happens does occur as well as you hope it is supposed to occur over the next 4 years, it's going to make things better for you. But they don't want you to believe that. They don't want you to think that. They want people to walk away from this and being like, Elon Musk might nuke another country. And that's what you'll see on social media. And there's no foundation of truth whatsoever there. And they don't care. But again, the only way I think you walk away from some of these press conferences is if you pat your pocket or hit, you know, something in your coat, and you see essentially a gold bar, Bob Menendez style, just right there for you, because thank you, sir. I did my part. Now give me my money. A quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Super Beats, Super Barine is their new product. And if you enjoyed the Super Beats Chews, you're also going to like the Super Barine product as well. And this is from the makers of the Heart Chews, from the Human Company. And the Super Barine, you can find it at Sam's Club now, right next to the Heart Chews. It's a way of supporting your metabolism and healthy blood sugar levels as well. This plant-based supplement from it's formulated with an ingredient that helps to support your metabolism. Real results, super convenient, clinically researched ingredients. And it's used by doctors from the makers of Super Beats Heart Chews. So head to your nearest Sam's Club, save on the Super Beats Heart Chews and the new Super Barine from Human. You'll love the way it makes you feel.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. Let's fire off a quick five. My name is Craig Collins, filling in on The Dana Show. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio. Great ways to stay connected to her. Radio Craig C, if you want to find me on any platform out there, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. But D-Lash, D-Lash Radio on X is the best way to stay connected to Dana. Let's do this. More Americans will be pulling for the Eagles on Sunday. Of course they will. The Kansas City Chiefs are essentially an evil empire at this point. I love how this surprises people, that 48 to 50% of Americans would like to see the Eagles win, and then a whole bunch of other people don't care who wins. That seems about normal. The longer the evil empire lasts in any kind of sport, the more detractors you have, the more people that would like to see it go away. Not just the fact that the refs seem to love Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and seem to cheat for him actively at times, I'm mostly kidding, but kind of not kidding. Roger Goodell, by the way, rejected that recently. But just every part of this, I think you'd like to see even the Eagles, who won a Super Bowl recently, defeat a team that is going for history, trying to have a three-peat in the world of football, something we have not seen before. 2% of people watch the Super Bowl for the announcer commentary. I thought that was great. And I can't imagine that's a lot of people that I know that are like, you know what? I don't care about the game. I don't care about the commercials. I want to hear what Tom Brady has to say, even though this will be Tommy's first shot at this, and I'm not expecting great things, which is crazy. Tom Brady is the ideal color commentary guy in the world of a Super Bowl, and yet he's not very good at this job, which might be something that he is unwilling to admit, even more complicated by the fact that he's an owner of an NFL team, but just not great. So I'm not looking forward to the announcer commentary at all. And yet, apparently, 2% of Americans are. I found that hilarious. I'd like to know more about them. One last thing in the world of football. After Travis Kelce, Mr. Pfizer, according to some people out there, said it would be a great honor to have President Trump attend the Super Bowl. A whole bunch of Taylor Swift fans are now turning on Travis Kelce because they're mad. They're very mad because T-Swift, I know I hate that I even mentioned her. I'm sure that you do, too, but it can't help it. T-Swift herself hates the current president, so of course, so do her fans, and apparently now they're very mad that Kelce would say it would be an honor to have a sitting president attend a game as important as the Super Bowl. I just find that amazing. You can't say anything. It's not like Kelce said that he loves the guy or, you know, voted for him or any of that. Not that I would personally think that that's a bad thing. I'm sure the Swifties would, but just the fact that you'd say you'd be honored to have someone filling the role of president of the country sitting in the stands watching you play football, and that people would be up in arms about that. That's kind of ridiculous. By the way, in news beyond the United States and beyond football, I guess, I found this hilarious. The Ecological Transition Agency, the EPA in France, recently said that you should wear your shirt 5 times before you wash it. Doesn't matter how much you sweat. It doesn't matter how bad the reputation is or the, you know, whatever you want to call it, stereotype of certain countries for not smelling as great as other places. France wants you to wear that shirt 5 times, baby. That's horrible advice for me and horrible advice for a lot of people. But they said that this would be good for the world in which we live. Wear your shirt 5 times and then go ahead and wash it. A bra 7 times for some reason. Workout clothes 3 times and pajamas, wear them for an entire week. Jeans, you can actually go a full month, according to this organization, before washing them. So essentially, a whole lot of us would smell and just look terribly dirty. But if we all do it together, maybe then it becomes less of a thing. That or you just like douse yourself in Axe, like you're an eighth grader going to a dance, and then maybe everything will be fine there. And yes, I mean the body spray, which I have not used since I was 13. And I'm admitting I did use when I was 13, and it wasn't a good move. By the way, my Axe scent of choice, this is a weird thing to just admit on the radio, but darn it, we're here. I'm going to do it. Phoenix. And that was the one I remember using as a kid. Don't know if it holds up. I assume it didn't hold up even then, so I doubt it does now. But I assume France is just going to have a boatload of those shipped to them in the near future if they follow these rules. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our proud partners, the folks over at ReadyWise. ReadyWise is ready even if you aren't. One of the things that I really like about ReadyWise, and I actually do have it, is that I know, well, first off, it tastes good because there's so many things out there that they're survival food and they know it, right? And you know it when you take a bite. But with ReadyWise, because you want to try this stuff before you get stuck in your shelter. You know, I'm just saying, you want to take a taste. But with ReadyWise, it tastes good. They have like a whole team of in-house culinary experts that design everything that you order. So they do this to make sure that your nutritional needs are met. So if something goes sideways, you don't want to be short, you know, what you need for your healthy carbs or for your protein or your caloric needs for that day. And so that's what ReadyWise, that's what everything that they offer, their entire array of product choices that meet every budget. By the way, it's designed to meet those nutritional needs. But the chain of command. I mean, these are U.S. ingredients. It's packed, prepared and packed in a U.S. plant and then sent out from there. So not only are you supporting existing and also creating more U.S.-based jobs, but you know the chain of command for your food, which I think when things are going sideways and everything's up in the air, that's really important to know. So it's essential, comfort in a crisis and beyond. It is the ultimate in survival food. Excellent variety, super nutritious, and it's affordable. You need to visit ReadyWise.com because when you do, you'll check the little promo code section. You can put Dana20 in and you get 20% off your whole purchase. So that's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff to talk about out there in the world. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, great ways to stay connected to her on X, on Twitter, and Radio Craig C, if you want to follow me for some reason. Not as good as Dana. I do love this, even though Russell Vogt was confirmed as the director of OMB the other day. A whole bunch of Democrats needed to do everything they could to yell out and scream out how terrible he is, even during the voting process when you're just supposed to say yes or no. So a lot of these individuals were told to shut up, although told to shut up in kind of an amazing political way. And I wonder if next time you're in an argument with someone who refuses to accept that your opinion and their opinion are allowed to be different, you're allowed to walk away saying we don't agree, that's totally fine, if you could go ahead and do this to them.
I vote no on a man who wants to...
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted during a vote. The senator will suspend.
Shut up.
Mr. Kelly.
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted during a vote. The senator will suspend.
Please shut up.
Mr. Kennedy.
Please.
Mr. Kim.
Oh, good. They know how to do this.
Pursuant to Rule 12, no debate is permitted.
Just try that out. Next time you're in an argument with someone outside of, I'd say, the misses, try to do pursuant to Rule 12. We have to move on from the yelling that's happening. You do that with the misses, you're going to be sleeping outside in the doghouse, like literally. So I wouldn't go that road. At least I haven't tried it yet. And I doubt I will. But this happened. By the way, while they were actually debating if Russ Vogt should be in charge of OMB, a job he's had before, and a job he would be, I think, uniquely good at, and I'll play some audio in a bit demonstrating that. But you had several senators saying how dangerously out of touch he is with reality, and here's some of the reasons they claim that.
He has stated that he believes the 2020 election was, quote, rigged.
Horrible person.
That's not just out of touch with America. That is dangerously out of touch with reality.
Uh-huh.
He has said he wants to traumatize our federal workers. That means all the people who work really hard to help in our communities, whether they're inspecting food or reviewing the safety of drugs or keeping our travel safe.
Or just accepting a paycheck and not doing anything, since Marco Rubio said that we need about 250 people to work at USAID. And instead, we have 14,000 people working in that department that seems to be just throwing money in places it shouldn't be thrown. These are the things that they want to complain about. What does the man himself say about what he would do and how it would go if, and now he's been confirmed, so he is once again the director of the Office of Management and Budget. Here's what he told Tucker Carlson a couple months ago.
That's going to cause a lot of turmoil within these bureaucracies, and you got to fight through it. And then they're going to overlay the aspect of, oh my gosh, you guys are racist, and you know, you guys care about us as people. You know, you're going to have to deal with that too, right? They are, you know, one of the arguments that they're using in the press against me right now is they say he called for trauma within the bureaucracies. Yeah, I called for trauma within the bureaucracy.
Yeah, I did.
Bureaucracies hate the American people. They want to put a 77-year-old Navy veteran in jail for 18 months for building four ponds on his ranch to fight wildfires. That's not the Department of Justice. That's the EPA.
Yes.
You go every agency, and it's not just big government. It's weaponized against the country.
And against the American people, and weaponized against the Republican Party, of course, as well. But that is a real story. If you want to look it up, the veteran's name is Robertson. He died at the age of 80, but he was being charged with multiple felonies back in 2016. Just insane. Horrible, horrible story, and one of many. And we as the American people would like this stuff to stop. I want to go back to something else. A second ago that Senator Murray said, that was the female voice I was playing, complaining about Russ vote when she said that he believes that the 2020 election was fraudulent or corrupt or rigged. And how dare he say that? I think the biggest avenue toward a different conversation about that than we were having a couple years ago, than even people like me who were not saying that I believed to the degree that it was being shared other places, that what happened was, you know, full on changing of votes and ballot harvesting and all that stuff, although that did happen, but actually like allowing for someone to defend the position that the 2020 election wasn't a weird anomaly because you couldn't prove some of the things you were saying. And then in 2024, the lack of people that showed up to vote on the Democratic side of the aisle, losing millions and millions of votes and having a tremendously similar turnout to, say, 2016 or any previous election in recent memory, and not the ridiculous, you know, inflated turnout of 2020. Well, darn it, that adds some credibility to saying that something was rigged, something was at least created in a way that might have technically been legal, but certainly seemed to benefit one party, not the other, and on purpose, you know, cheating occurred. That's not as deranged as they want you to believe it is. And even more so, as I said, after what you've seen over the last couple years and the fact that Trump could win the popular vote in 2024 after fighting to root out some of the ways that some of those voting things could be corrupted or at least, you know, inflated in a "we're promised that was legal" kind of way. It's just amazing. And so I guess the rhetoric or the discussion points here, they're all going to morph. They're all going to evolve. And a lot of people are still going to reject them at their core because they never want to be proven wrong. They never want to accept that, you know, I said that. I said, how dare you even reference that this could be corrupted when you don't have the proof to do it, even though maybe you are saying that you want more of those receipts to come out, and then you see more potential proof of these things actually occurring, and your reaction is shut up and go into your corner. I think that's the most important part of most of these discussions in society right now, is trying to take a step back, which is hard for many people to do. I'm not pretending it's easy, on whatever the issue might be, and hear the latest argument and then decide if that's false or true. It doesn't mean you have to believe it's true, but at least be willing to hear the new argument before you reject it, because I've heard that before in some other way or with, you know, this limitation or that limitation. And so I refuse to accept it now. I mean, honestly, the turnout in 2024 compared to the turnout in 2020 is a uniquely interesting thing. And anyone that's on a certain side of that discussion would tell you that the reason for that is people just lost faith in voting for anybody. A whole lot of people just didn't show up, just didn't turn out at all. And that could be true, but it certainly adds to the credibility that, you know, and I'm using air quotes you can't see on the radio, legally rigged could have also happened a few years ago. It is uniquely damaging for Trump to have won the popular vote to a lot of people who say that that's fully a conspiracy and no version of it should be accepted whatsoever. And I thought that was interesting. Maxine Waters accosted a federal employee, basically just yelled at him outside of the Department of Education. I don't know what she thinks she successfully did. This dude has got the glasses up on the forehead. He's bald. I don't know if that's from the stress of having to deal with people like Maxine Waters. I'm going to guess it is. He's got his hands crossed and he's hoping that she goes away soon. But someone on the staff has whipped out the camera and they're trying to record this guy and get, you know, information from him, I guess, so people can attack him on social media. I'm not really sure. But here's how this went down, because she wants access into the Department of Education so Maxine can do I don't know what inside there. Probably nothing good or even really valuable at all, I imagine. Here we go.
Look them in the eye. Come on, hold your face up. Look at them. This is him. Look at it. What's your name? Tell us your name. Give me that ID again.
So
what?
I showed you the ID.
You do what?
I showed you the ID.
Could you let me see?
Okay, that's uniquely bad as far as a look goes. You need that repeated three times. And I love that she saw the ID, doesn't remember the name at all. You pull out the phone, you do the recording, you want to see it again.
The ID again? Huh?
No.
No.
Will someone else ask him for the ID? Will you ask him for it? He won't let me see it again. You didn't see it.
I love this, actually, if I'm going to be honest, because the point going into this moment, Maxine and her team, we're going to create a scene. We're going to do something that shows how horrible all the stuff that we're telling you to be afraid of actually is. We're going to prove to you that you need to be, you know, worried when you go to sleep tonight. And then the core disagreement is on forgetting the fact that she saw the ID already and knows the name. So she's asking other people around her to ask for this dude's information. That's what the fight's about. Now it's something tremendously stupid and not whatever it was supposed to be, which is probably also tremendously stupid, darn it. But I just love this. And by the way, there are now a whole bunch of memes popping up of this individual standing in front of the federal, the Department of Education or anywhere else being stressed out about all kinds of stuff. It's amazing. All right. One last thing, and I can't help this. And it aired on CNN. It aired within the context of a discussion that makes it okay for it to air. But they were very, very upset about a 16-year-old, now 19-year-old tech person who's been part of Elon Musk's team looking into all of the terrible waste and abuse of funds with USAID. And they're obsessed with him because of some things he put up on social media and also some social media names he had. He's been fired, by the way, I think, from Doge. So well done. Success here in getting this guy to be kicked out of a operation in which he's really just trying to uncover abuse and misuse of our money, of our funds, and maybe give it back to us. That'd be great. I don't think they're talking about that, but I'd like a refund. I want my money back. But here we go. They're obsessed with this dude, and you'll be able to tell why very quickly.
Yes. So this is a 19-year-old high school graduate who has used the unfortunate nickname Big Balls online. So that would be one way that we could refer to him. Uh-huh. He's now working at Musk's behest inside
terrible.
Doge. And we looked into his background. And so we found, you know, several notable things, Aaron, one of which is that this individual has founded multiple companies, including one with another unfortunate name, Tesla.Sexy LLC, which he established in 2021.
I love the fear-mongering attempt here. I'm really afraid of Tesla.Sexy LLC being in some way, shape, or form connected to Doge. That seems bad for all of us. Again, he's a tech kid who seems to be very good at finding where the rabbit hole goes, and that's probably why he was one of a team of people being used by Elon Musk. He was joking with anything he put up on social media, as you can tell, even by the name of the individual on social media. And yet, in order for you to be afraid, they need to have the most serious reaction to what could be an absolutely ridiculous discussion and then tell you how it's dangerous and horrible. And again, that's just because the piggy bank is getting closed up. It's tightening. The amount of dollars are escaping pockets or not continuing to line them. And so all of a sudden that that media thing, that you know, tentacle that exists there is going to tell you more and more how dangerous and horrible this is for you. When I'm just going to be honest, my life hasn't changed at all. Anything they've done so far, not impacted me a little bit. I'm sure a lot of people are the same way. And I think you should actually do that. Before I take a break, I'll say this one last thing. The next time you see something, anyone listening to the show, where media tells you American families are being harmed by this, just reflect for a moment first before you do anything else on if you're being harmed. Just sit down and be like, am I being hurt? Is my family being hurt? If the answer is no, then maybe don't pretend you know for a fact that that information is true. You can start searching for other people who say they're being hurt, and I'm sure there might be some out there. And that might be a better way to go about it. But I love the amount of people that immediately accept that narrative where their own life is screaming at them that that's not true, at least not for them. And you wonder why they're then so passionate about a topic that has no impact on their life. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Everyone knows that wasteful government spending and printing more money is exactly how we get inflation. And inflation is what makes our dollars worth less and our goods and services cost more. And to make matters worse, our printed money gets regularly sent by the billions to other countries. I'm inclined to fully protect what I've worked for because Uncle Sam is certainly not doing it. And that's why I've added gold and silver as a hedge against inflation and part of my family's financial preparedness. While politicians are engaged in slap fighting and overspending, I'm making sure that my family is prepared on the financial front, and finding a precious metals company you can trust is no easy feat. And that's why I turn to Goldco. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today and get your free gold kit from Goldco. Also discover how to land up to $10,000 in bonus silver just for safeguarding your hard-earned cash. Don't wait. Tap into that American DNA and take matters into your own hands and visit DanaLikesGold.com. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. It's time for Florida Man. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio. Great ways to stay connected to her on X. I have three of them. First, a Florida man was, quote, barking like a dog at an Advanced Auto Parts for over an hour before police actually arrived to the scene. At some point, the guy is actually from Georgia, by the way, but he's a Florida man, true and true. Or at least I think he was in Georgia, but he's from Florida when he did this. Excuse me. But he's barking like a dog at the Advanced Auto Parts. Police show up. They ask him what he's doing. My favorite, the 29-year-old goes, I don't think anything's wrong here. I have no idea I'm causing any issues because you're barking at a store. They bring him into the store. They eventually search him. They find a bunch of meth on him, which is unsurprising. And eventually it comes out that the dude is from Florida, which even better, I guess, as far as the story goes. But yeah, you can disrupt people if you just stand outside an Advanced Auto Parts you didn't even go into in the first place and bark like a dog for no reason. That eventually won't go your way, as this guy's found out. Another guy who was busted by an undercover cop in Jacksonville during a drug deal. His name is Jordan. He's 25 years old. He tried to outrun the cops on a horse. I don't know why he had a horse. I don't know why he had access to the horse, but there was a somewhat dangerous chase that occurred because the guy tried to get away on a horse and, well, failed. That's not going to work out. Cops actually on horseback took him down even better. I imagine that part of it. There are videos that show the pursuit, all kinds of things. One video of an officer, Casey Hare, went viral. Because galloping action scene of one guy trying to run away and horses apprehending him is just kind of amazing and hilarious, but not really a good move to try to outrun cops and try to get away from them, especially if they're going to take you down Old West style. Finally, one last story that was pretty interesting. And granted, this guy might have had an actual like health thing happen. I don't think we know why this occurred. So I feel bad that it falls in the Florida man stories, but darn it, it's Florida, and this seems to fit. A dude driving a boat passed out for some reason. He's expected to make a full recovery, but the way he passed out in the boat by himself caused it to just do circles, kind of be spinning around in the water, and it was, quote, out of control. So the sheriff's office decided to rescue the guy. The video went viral of a helicopter coming in and getting the guy out of the boat. And as I said, again, he's expected to be fully fine. We don't really know what happened to him, if it was, because of a decision he made or just a health crisis. But it is interesting to see a video of a boat just doing donuts near the shore for no reason whatsoever. And a dude laying toward the, control of the boat with, it seems like, his arm up in the air and not asking for help. I think he was still holding on to something that was making it turn and go the direction it was going. So again, I feel bad that this is in the Florida man story, even though it absolutely occurred over the weekend, just because of the look of it and the Florida location of it. But who knows what was going on with the guy. I am glad to know that he's going to make a full recovery. I don't know if that's true of all Florida men, but it's true of him, and that's pretty good. A quick break, a lot more coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
It's the non-firearm, the Bernigun. And the Bernigun is a good way to diversify your self-defense options. Now, what does that mean? Well, I have friends who live in areas where they are very heavily gun-free zones, right? And as a result, my friends are kind of left to the mercy of criminals and chance, which nobody wants to be at the mercy of that. It never ends well for you. So the Bernigun gets around that. And I would love to not be a big kid and have to go to places for work sometimes where it's, gun-free due to municipal regulations or private property. And so that said, I feel my friend's pain. They went and got the Byrna SD. All of them independently got the Byrna SD. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. It has more rounds than a stun gun would, that only has like maybe one or two. And it's legal in all 50 states. No background checks, no permits. It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. And they can send it right to your door. So it's easy to access. Very easy to access. And the SD model, that's their best-selling defense option. There's a reason why. They have other options. But the SD seems like, I think, is the most practical option. And if, you know, you don't want to be left at the mercy of criminals because you've been disarmed, definitely check out the Byrna SD. Like I said, it's great to have options. I mean, you carry knives, right? You carry, I hope you do. You carry blades in that, right? I mean, you diversify. I mean, heck, what is the, you use your pistol to get to your rifle. It's always great to have self-defense options and diversify them. And this is where the Byrna SD comes in. Visit Byrna.com/Dana. That's Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff out there to talk about. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, two great ways to stay connected to her on X, on Twitter, or just listening to her every day here or via her podcast. Great decision as well. First, let's play audio of the White House Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, telling you all the horrible, terrible things Trump is going to do. I'm being sarcastic, of course, because media, any version of it, and a whole lot of politicians want to convince you that Trump's plans are bad. But if you listen in the world of, say, taxes and cost savings for Americans, none of this sounds all that bad. A lot of it sounds pretty good, in fact.
So these are the tax priorities of the Trump administration that the president has laid out for members in that meeting today.
Fire.
No tax on tips, which is obviously a very public campaign promise that the president made. No tax on seniors' Social Security. No tax on overtime pay.
Great so far.
Renewing President Trump's 2017 middle class tax cuts.
Thank you.
Again, these are the president's priorities. Adjusting the SALT cap. Eliminate all the special tax breaks for billionaire sports team owners. Close the carried interest tax deduction loophole.
Amazing.
Tax cuts for Made in America products.
Great. Across the board. Wonderful. Even some eliminating of special tax breaks for billionaire sports team owners should be popular with the Democrats who scream and yell all the time about how the rich need to pay their fair share. Probably the biggest reason for that one specifically is how woke a lot of sports have become, because those owners know they need to keep being nice to the side that's giving them a bunch of free cash, a bunch of free money. But this is just crazy. Made in America products, too, getting a tax cut incentivizes us to create more things here, to become a country that can stand on its own without reliance on anybody, which is something we're more than capable of being again. America first in that way can't possibly be thought of as bad because it creates more jobs. If warehouses open back up, if people create more things here and tariffs can be used more impactfully against other countries and maybe even eliminate, say, the need to pay taxes, which is a real thing that's been talked about in some way, shape, or form by the current president and actually was the way that our government made money years and years ago, that wouldn't be so bad. That would be widely popular. If it actually occurs or not, of course, is another thing. But nonetheless, as mainstream media, legacy media, or Democrats are screaming to you how horrible and terrible and bad people are connected to Trump or Trump himself is, the tax cut plan that's being laid out there can't be seen as anything other than good by most Americans. And this is just amusing. As you're talking about that, Kamala Harris showed up at a Laker game the other night. I think the talk of, say, all the fans in the stands is how ridiculous it was that they got a 25-year-old incredible player and Luka Doncic to be a part of that team now for a trade that still makes no sense to most people who watch basketball even a little bit, and not the fact that Harris was there waving and no one cared about her at all. That is the real reception in the section she's in. This is a person standing two rows behind her as she's walking into the arena and waving and coming up the stairs and sitting down right in front of this person. No one gives a crap. There's no applause. There's not really much of anything. Maybe a couple people waving. And she's acting like she's being embraced by, you know, millions of people. She's smiling. She's waving. And her own team is shooting a video of her and probably adding in some claps and things later. Hilarious. And that's in L.A. That's in a place where you'd think she at least would still potentially be popular because of her years being a person that was in politics in California. But there's a no there. And I love so much of this, too, for a different reason. Recently, a lot of people have been saying no one elected Elon Musk as one of the attacks on him and Doge and all the ways they're trying to demonstrate that corruption is real. And the best part about Doge, real quick, is they're adding receipts to the things they're saying. They're showing you the proof. They're not just saying something that gets rejected because the proof is still being hidden. If you've ever had a conversation with anyone, I'll get back to my other point in a second. But if you've ever had a conversation with anyone where you get to that wall where you say, I know just from what I'm looking at that corruption exists here and there, and they say, yeah, but can you prove it? That's usually a frustrating point in a conversation, but I've actually erred on the side of if we can't prove it, we can accept the idea that maybe it's not true. I'm not saying I actually believe that, but I can at least accept that this is a you think your thing, I think my thing moment in a discussion. We agree to disagree. Our opinions are what they are. But Doge is actually giving us the facts, the receipts themselves, proving to us what's going on. That seems like that should matter. And yet a lot of people are ignoring and still rejecting this discussion. Case in point is probably this interview on CNN where Pamela Brown is talking to an up-and-coming person within the Republican Party in Brandon Gill out of Texas, a representative out of Texas, just simply matter-of-fact stating some of the things that have already been released about U.S. aid by Doge, by Elon Musk and his team. And CNN doesn't believe it. So they mention multiple times in this interview, they're going to fact-check him in real time for the things he's saying. And then eventually they begrudgingly admit that what he said was in fact true, that we are spending money on crazy programs, transgender programs in other countries, one of many examples used during this interview.
Well, what's unprecedented is spending our taxpayer dollars on left-wing partisan political projects all over the globe. That's what the American people are focused on. This is a result of this election. This is a result of President Trump getting a very clear mandate from the American people to get rid of this kind of nonsense from our federal government. And we're doing it more efficiently than we've ever been done, than it's ever been done before. And again, the fury that we're seeing from the other side of the aisle isn't about this waste. It's not about paying for left-wing activism on the other side of the globe. It's that it's being exposed finally. And that's what the American people want.
Yes, absolutely. You should want that. I imagine most of us do want that. It's our money. It's our dollars being spent on things that make no sense. Millions and millions of dollars of them in ways that should immediately be refunded to us, but of course won't be. And as I said, during this interview, as he's naming some of these things that are being spent on, like transgender-related funding in other countries and programs of the like, CNN and Pamela Brown are telling him, we're going to check you, sir. We're going to make sure what you're saying is true.
Certainly want more transparency about everything, right? About how taxpayer dollars are being spent and about what is happening within their federal government. I do want to note that they have done gender activism in South Africa through gender-based violence and promote women's empowerment. It's not possible, though, to verify the millions of dollars of taxpayer dollars being spent. But USAID would say it's not doing left-wing activism. It's helping vulnerable populations. I take your point, though. Look,
I love the way that went. I love every part of that. Because, again, and I could play them for you, there's just several mentions as he's saying things of, well, we're going to check on that. We're going to dive into that. And then she uses the ridiculous out of, we don't know how many of the millions are going toward that, but it is true that there is money being spent in other places on things that make no sense and seem like left-wing ideology and not at all like what matters most. And especially when you start to look at things happening within our country, people who are impacted by a recent hurricane, whether that's in Florida, Texas, two places I've lived recently, actually, and the amount of funding that is limited there, and wondering how we could possibly spend $250 million for a failed dam in a foreign country. That's a real thing. Look it up yourself if you want to, and not be spending money on people here back at home instead. It simply makes no sense. There's even, I think, spending for a Sesame Street show in a foreign country that makes no sense to us. These are just a few of the things that have come out recently. And actually, Joe Rogan, one of the people talking about them a lot, he talked to a guest about this recently, and I just thought it was such an amazing interview. Brett Weinstein is the other individual's name, someone who's become a target of a lot of left and left-leaning media. And they're simply stating facts as they're discussing this, facts we know about because of Elon Musk and Doge, and facts that were being kept from us before because it validates the side of the argument that's been saying this terrible stuff's been going on.
They gave $27 million to the George Soros Prosecutor Fund. So our own government is funding this left-wing lunatic who is hiring the most insane prosecutors who are letting people out of jail who commit violent crimes.
And that's exactly how this racket worked, is that the ability to tax the American public and then effectively get us to pay for being propagandized, for being surveilled, that's the game.
That's the whole game, baby, right there. You know, I'll say one other thing, and I want to say this without whatever level that people think is in here of bias or, you know, partisan one-sidedness, even though I can't help what my opinions are. The thing that's amazing to me as this all plays out, as Elon's attacked or Joe Rogan interviews whoever he interviews and inevitably gets attacked for all of this, is that at the end of the day, all that's being looked for is truth, is accountability, is understanding of the bad things that are happening behind closed doors, things that most Americans believe occur. I don't know many people who don't think that there's corruption in Washington, who wouldn't tell you that as long as the messenger is one that they don't want to vilify, that, yeah, okay, that's probably true, that terrible thing they just said. It all comes down to just vilifying the individual or the side of the aisle that's bringing this to our the forefront of our minds and proving to us that this thing we've believed for a while is actually, in fact, true. It is incredible. This is the moment where the receipts are becoming available over the last few days and hopefully next few months and years. And this is the moment where people finally out themselves for being unwilling to talk about those things or show us those things, which most of mainstream media is ignoring these stories right now and only talking about the emotional component that they're telling you matters more. The without U.S. aid, this is going to go bad or this is going to go bad. And I'll simply state this without it sounding like as big of advocacy as it might sound like it is for excess spending beyond our country, is if there is something that simply makes sense, that is, you know, human in nature and that most Americans would support because, of course, we want to be a philanthropic country or nation or, you know, just a people, then pass just funding for that thing with a tremendous amount of checks and balances and see if people approve it or not. But the government doesn't want to do that. The side of the aisle that wants to use your emotion against you and hide all of their stealing and spending and corruption and embezzling within those umbrellas wants to pass these giant, huge spending bills and giant, huge initiatives that they claim are for certain things, and then they can move those dollars around how they want. If we have specific spending, nothing prevents our government from going ahead and passing those laws, those bills, no matter how much they tell you. If funding goes away here, it can never come back. Of course it can, just with way better transparency, which is what we should all want. Quick break, a lot more. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
This is, you need to just bookmark this website, allfamilypharma.com/Dana, because when you use that website, you get 10% off using promo code Dana10. If you're tired of Big Pharma, if you're tired of the, it's like insane. You know, like if you get sick, like for instance, over Thanksgiving, I was sick. I knew that I was getting strep throat. My throat was on fire. I knew I was sick. One of my college kids came back sick. I got sick from him. He was already on antibiotics. I've been down this road before. I know I'm sick. Do I have to go and pay an astronomical copay? That's if I can even get in, you know, to my doc. That it's a mess. And I have family coming in. I don't have time to be sick. All Family Pharma, I know exactly what I need. And they have doctors that will evaluate it digitally. And, you can even do a telehealth thing with them if you want to. But they have doctors that look over your prescription, look over the medicines that you're looking at, and they sign off on it, and you get it sent right to your door. And if you need it next day, which is what I did, you can actually do that as well. It's affordable access. There's no red tape and no hassle. And these are not Chinese antibiotics. I know you would think, a lot of people assume that, oh, that's probably Chinese. No, they're all made in the USA, which is actually kind of rare. So these medications are made right here in the United States. So you know you're getting high standards of quality and safety. You don't have to worry about, you know, communist Chinese medicines. And that's what makes All Family Pharma so different from everybody else. And they empower you to take charge of your health. And they've helped thousands and thousands and thousands of patients all across the country. And again, no red tape, no hassle, fast and convenient delivery. I had azithromycin. I mean, you name it, you can get an antibiotic for it. Go to allfamilypharma.com/Dana and see everything that you can access, and use code Dana10 to get 10% off your purchase. Protect yourself and your family today. Allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10 for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. Dana's Quick Five, D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, to stay connected to The Dana Show and Dana Lash. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Today is Work Naked Day, or Working Naked Day. It is not a real national holiday. And if you don't work from home, it's probably a crime, wherever it is you're going. And if you do work from home, it's not something I really want you to be proud of doing. But apparently, people out there are proud of the fact that they might be celebrating Working Naked Day. Another story, the Pepsi Challenge is going to be back this year for the Super Bowl. This is something that you've probably heard of before, I imagine, unless you're a youngin', and then I can't tolerate you at times. And that sounded amazing. I'm 39, and I used the word youngin' a second ago. But here is a old version of a Pepsi Challenge commercial, just to bring up those nostalgic feels for any of us that remember this the first go-round.
All across this country, people took the Pepsi Challenge, and Pepsi won, because...
You know a way out of it. When you taste one, it's Pepsi.
I don't know if they'll win again. I imagine they might. But yes, and I don't even know if they really won the first time. But the Pepsi Challenge is back, and it seems wonderful. Canadian officials are warning Canadians not to boo American peewee hockey players at an upcoming event that's going to happen. The mayor of Quebec actually begged people not to boo children from America in response to whatever has been going on between that country and President Trump. So how great it is you have to warn parents and adults not to boo little kids playing hockey because they're mad about stuff. Two other Valentine's Day related stories that I thought were interesting. The Memphis Zoo will name an elephant turd after an ex if you want them to, in honor of Valentine's Day this year. So if you feel very upset about something and you want to name a turd after a turd, that's their campaign. You can go ahead and do it. And if you then post that on social media, all of your friends will tell you you're still hung up on someone you need to get over. But that's your move. Do it however you want. It will be a byproduct of how people feel about you. And then the other one that I saw, a guy is offering to harass your date on a Valentine's Day date. This is in Malaysia. I wouldn't exactly work in our country. So you can be the hero that saves them. So they harass your date and you come in at the last second and save the day. I don't know if it's the same people who attacked Jussie Smollett. We don't know. But someone out there is doing this and apparently charging a fee for it, between $25 and $40, to harass your date during Valentine's Day so you can seem like a wonderful person that you're definitely not. This is a weird move. Back to the Future did this back in the day. We all learned the lesson from that. It doesn't work out the way you think it does. So please don't do this. But I guess it won't be a problem here unless Jussie Smollett gives you the information for his guys. Then maybe it will be. Quick break. A lot more. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And Patriot Mobile not only provides nationwide coverage that you can trust by operating on all three major networks, making sure that you stay connected wherever you go, but they're also not making your money work against you. And they're not making you compromise the things that you vote for at the ballot box with your dollars. And you can go to patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. They'll give you a free month of service with promo code Dana. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade, get new ones. It's up to you. It's never been easier or simpler to switch. Their U.S.-based customer service team will take care of you, so you're also maintaining and helping to create U.S.-based jobs as well. It's a company that supports what you believe in and won't betray you with your values. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get that free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch today. It's that important. Defend freedom every time you call or text. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio, to stay connected to her on X, on Twitter, or wherever you want to find her, podcasting all over the place. at Radio Craig C, if you want to find me for some reason. And thanks for anyone that's doing that. Not as active or as cool as Dana on some of those platforms. All right. There's a headline out there from the Associated Press and a bunch of other places. President Trump did say that one of the reasons for the horrible plane crash with the Black Hawk helicopter in the D.C. area the other day was because of obsolete equipment that's being used by air traffic controllers. He, of course, in a press conference right after the event, also talked about DEI. Then you had J.D. Vance, Vice President Vance, go out there and have discussions about DEI as well, in which a lot of mainstream media said that they were backtracking. The reason I want to bring this up is I find it so important and so interesting, and especially at a time when we're also going to have forced leave for U.S. aid employees. A whole lot of people are not going to be allowed to work right now for an organization that Elon Musk is identifying through Doge as deeply corrupt. And finding that corruption and weeding it out or having to start all over again is something that Americans should actually think is a good thing. And seeing the actions match the words is something the government is not actually used to. But here's the truth in the world of DEI and air traffic controllers. And please feel free to look it up. And it might be silly to do a deep dive on this, but I can't help myself as story after story has the same basic narrative that Trump is making things up, that President Trump is lying and, you know, using what is politically valuable positions on things and not actually, you know, hard facts. So during the Obama presidency, yes, this is where we have to start, there was an edict put out to change the way that several different government organizations hire people. And the FAA, and specifically air traffic controllers, embraced those changes. And those changes were based on race. They were based on disability. They were based on a lot of things that had nothing to do with if you were actually good at the job or not. This occurred. And actually, it occurred to such a significant degree that there was a lawsuit about it. An individual and then a class action lawsuit was filed, still in the process of being worked out. The FAA has denied these things, but where an applicant by the name of Andrew was sent an email saying that the FAA had implemented changes to improve and streamline its hiring process. And because of that, his application was impacted. Andrew, of course, is a white dude, if you were curious about that part. And they also changed what schools they would even look for applicants from in order to place these positions. So what occurred when they did all that years ago, up to now, up to a lawsuit in 2018 and a bunch of the still unresolved aspects of it? Unsurprisingly, we wound up with a shortage of people that could do that job. Unsurprisingly, when you limit the amount of applicants for a position, you wind up with staffing issues. And then what happened over the last couple weeks in the discussion about it and how terrible that accident was in the first place is partly because there was only one person working when there should have been two. And the reason there's only one person working is because they have limited staff to begin with. And at that time, earlier than normal, you send a person home, even though it's still busy enough, because you want them to work certain other hours and not go on overtime, et cetera, et cetera. So could you make the claim? I know that was a deep dive. I know I asked you to pay attention to several of those aspects of that story, though, that DEI impacted what eventually happened in that crash. Absolutely, you can. You can say that hiring practices and changes that had nothing to do with merit and ability have caused us to be in a place where air traffic controllers are now, a deeply struggling organization or industry, or, you know, have staffing and hiring issues that they're trying to fix over the last couple of years, and it's going to take a while to do it. You can absolutely make that claim. I love that mainstream media claims that that is backtracking from saying that DEI played a part in everything that happened, though, because any of those, and I don't care what it is. By the way, if it's DEI specifically, you have to be a racist if you don't believe in it or something else. I guess if it's disability related things, then you're a horrible, terrible person. I think an ableist is what they call you in those worlds. But what if all you actually do care about, honestly and truthfully, is that people who deserve jobs have an opportunity to get them regardless of what they look like? I mean, I saw Jon Stewart, I'm not even going to play the audio, take this on Monday on the show he now does once a week and make the claim that a bunch of conservatives, a bunch of, politicians and media people just want to reinforce that a white guy is the only credible guy to do a job. More or less, that's what he says. I'm paraphrasing. And that's an insane version of trying to, I think, incite more anger and more craziness than actually get to the heart of what's being said. Because a meritocracy has nothing to do with what you look like. And absolutely, people who don't look like me, a white dude that's almost 40, can do great things. There's a bunch of examples of people doing great things that look nothing like me. But do not prevent people that deserve jobs from getting them because they do look like me. Don't tell them, I'm sorry, we can't have people like you in this position. And the reason I did a deep dive into this, and I've mentioned this story a bunch of times before, it was early on in my career in media. I was at a certain place working where a bunch of people who had a role that I had were white dudes. And I remember going into an all-staff meeting, and the boss in charge, who was actually the second in command of the place I was working, said out loud to a room, now granted, this was in a city that was overwhelmingly left-leaning politically, that the next person who hired for the job, who applied for the job that I had, if they were a white guy, they weren't going to get it. And it was a joke. And a lot of the room laughed. And I remember looking around at the other people in the position I was in and being like, are we bad somehow? Did he just say that I'm not good at my job or I don't deserve my job because of who I am? And it was such an odd thing to be stated. And this is years ago, before a lot of these discussions are going on. And so now as they're all coming out, and I remember even walking out of that meeting, like saying how weird it was to hear that. And depending on who I said that to, there were people that seemed to agree with me and people who didn't. And all of it seemed based on race, sex, what have you, and not on actual capability. But the one thing that also didn't happen is no one told me I was bad at my job because I wasn't. And I shouldn't be just because of my race. And it's amazing that those are the conversations we have now more than anything else. And they exist within air traffic controllers, within any. And it will exist within the U.S. aid discussion. Because again, a whole bunch of people are going to be put on some sort of forced leave. And you hope a whole bunch of people inevitably don't continue to have jobs if those jobs are unnecessary. You save a bunch of money for taxpayers by not having egregious, wasteful spending in the world of government. It seems stupid to say this, or silly or obvious, and I think a lot of you will feel that way. But the comfortability that government has with wasting our money, not just actively like stealing it and embezzling it, but the wasting part of it, and how little we're supposed to care, and how effective the narrative can be to vilify anyone who tries to remove waste, is amazing to watch when they're actually being called on the things they've done. When finally a lot of these receipts and information is going to be made available to the public, and you're going to be seeing how egregious all of these decisions were, it's amazing to watch them squirm, but also seem to still be fairly arrogant and confident that what's going to occur is they're going to convince you that somehow what they were doing was right all along. Because most people know, I think almost everyone in our country knows, that at the very least, the government is tremendously bad at spending your money and wastes a lot of it, if not actually just actively, as I said, steals it, which a lot of us also believe they do. But it's just amazing to watch as that plays out and as those individuals try to claim that, you know, what's actually occurring is somehow bad for you and me. And the other thing that will be very important, and I'm sure will happen for a lot of us, is none of that stuff that they say is bad for us will actually hurt us, which makes a whole lot of people believe them even less. I think even AOC was out there saying how the government can't be trusted recently, which is sort of, or excuse me, media can't be trusted. Of course, you wouldn't say that about her sweet, delicious government. And it's just kind of amazing to see these individuals feel like they're part of the correct side of these stories when they're so evidently part of the other side. But I have some of that audio. I can play AOC for us for a second. Here we go.
If you did not listen to a single Trump rally, if you weren't listening to how they were talking to people this time around, you would miss that the Trump campaign was talking to people very differently this time around than they did the first time around.
Or than media told you they were talking to them. And I love what she's trying to say is you don't know how deep the rabbit hole goes. You don't know how bad it was, when the reality was it was a very effective and winning message. It's sort of amazing to me to have anybody out there in the world of politics criticize the side of the aisle or the, you know, campaign itself that won the popular vote for the first time in a long time for conservatives, and doesn't actually hear the criticism for them. You probably know people in your everyday life who criticism toward them is impossible. No matter what you say, no matter how you say it, the reaction will be, no, not possible. Can't be right. You're wrong. How dare I have to be open-minded to hear this thing? And Democrats are the craziest of them right now. At least the politicians are, because you'd think a resounding butt kicking would cause you to actually go back to the drawing room table and be like, you know, we need to change some stuff. We need to do things differently. We need to hear the message that actually was put out there, and also maybe explain how 20 million or so people just vanished as far as voting from 2020 to 2024. If that's true, which of course a lot of people would be suspicious about that sort of thing, but let's take the argument of Democrats that it's true. That would be an indictment of everything you've been saying over the last few years and the horrible track record of the administration that was in charge in that time. And they're not hearing that. They're not hearing that a ton of people decided they didn't even need to vote this time around because you did that poorly. And that would be, again, accepting all this information as simply true and not stuff we probably need to look into more. But I bet you Doge will get to that at some point, or someone else in government will get to that at some point. And any information that's been hidden will be released there too, which should be unilaterally thought of as a good thing. All right, rant done, explanation done, all that stuff done. We'll take one last break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the favorite wings you have for the Super Bowl, the favorite dips and other stuff, because darn it, we have to have fun too. We'll talking about stuff that's serious. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF, or visit ReliefFactor.com.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Dana is back on Monday. A couple quick things. I saw out there that a woman was trying to sound more masculine in an email to coworkers. This is something that many women are doing. One of them wrote to one of those Dear Abby places saying that this is an attempt they're making to see if things go better. And the experts are saying this is going to be more harmful than helpful for you. I don't even know what that really means, to sound more like a dude than a woman in an email. I don't know if I sound like a dude in my emails. I am a dude, and I've never thought about it before in my life. Apparently, they're even using AI. So someone will write something in to some sort of work email and then copy and paste it into an AI thing like ChatGPT and go and man this up for me, baby, and then seeing if that works. One individual on TikTok specifically claims it helped him get a promotion. I'm not sure if that means the company had no idea you were a lady the whole time. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on there, but it's a trend. It's a claim. It's a thing going on. So good luck to anyone trying. Again, the experts are saying this is probably not a good idea, especially since most people who are doing this equate just being aggressive with being a dude, even in email form, something I'm not sure is exactly accurate and not always going to help you out, regardless of who it is doing it. Another story just quickly to touch on that I saw out there, a crazed passenger, a woman on a Singapore flight, locked herself in the bathroom for 2 hours and yelled stuff at people. Eventually, you're escorted off that flight, and I think this happened like very late in the evening, delaying the flight until like 1:15 a.m. A whole bunch of people on that flight are no fan of you. I would play the audio, but it's definitely not in English, and I have no idea if any of the words being screamed are bad, but the reason I love the audio so much is a bunch of the people on the plane are heard just laughing. They're just laughing at the craziness of the woman who's locked herself in the bathroom and claims she's not getting off that flight, who eventually loses that battle and is escorted off the flight, because you're never going to win in that world if you try it. And then there's a follow-up video probably taken by one of the people on the flight who's enjoying it, of the woman being taken into custody after the flight has landed. So just an insane set of things happen. The flight attendants probably deserve sweet, sweet raises for how they handled it. But I just love the fact that a whole bunch of people laughed their way through it, because what else are you going to do? Although, honestly, if it delays the flight until 1:15, I feel like there's a lot of other ideas I have and other people have as to what you do. And it's not just laugh through it. It's maybe help them chuck this person off the flight. One last thing, and I do like this too. They dove into, they being the internet people, the most popular Google searches just ahead of the Super Bowl, including what type of wing flavor is most popular, at least searched most for people in certain countries, or in certain states, excuse me. I thought it was really interesting, two of the results. In Oklahoma, crack dip was what we found. I don't know why that's happening. I don't even know if that's a thing in Oklahoma specifically, although the internet is claiming it is, but it seems bad. If it's, you know, drug-related, although I guess it's not. In Vermont, vegan buffalo cauliflower dip was the option of choice. That sounds horrible. Most states just want buffalo chicken dip, seven-layer dip, jalapeno poppers, those kind of things. The top appetizer that people Googled was a Philly cheesesteak or a Philly cheesesteak slider, which seems like a great call, Hawaiian roll sliders, and pigs in a blanket. Also, something I've never heard of before, I landed on this list of other appetizers beyond wings. Cowboy caviar, which apparently is something that is very popular. It's a fancy version of just regular dip. It's got a potluck version of stuff in it, including corn, beans, all kinds of things, and then your typical, you know, tomatoes and whatnot for dip. But they call that cowboy caviar. No caviar, in fact, in there, thank God. Potato skins also made the list of very popular appetizers. And then finally, in the world of alcohol, just in time for the Super Bowl, apparently we are searching for recipes for jungle juice, old-fashioned margaritas, espresso martinis, and all kinds of other things, cognac specifically, because of the Super Bowl happening in New Orleans and people wanting to New Orleans up their celebration of said game. One last thing I'll say, I am also cheering for the Eagles to win because, well, a lot of reasons to dislike the Chiefs, even if they would create something that's never happened in the world of football again or ever if they win a three-peat. But beyond that, just be quiet during the actual football game, at least as much as you can be. Some people show up at these parties to watch the football. I know it sounds crazy, but they do. I'm out of here. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show. She's back Monday.
Achieving vibrant, youthful skin doesn't have to be complicated. With the power of Native Path Collagen, you can nourish your body from within and enhance not just your skin, but also your hair, your nails, and help your gut health. By incorporating Native Path Collagen into your daily routine, you can promote a plump, radiant complexion, reduce signs of aging, and boost your overall vitality, all without any unnecessary fillers or additives. Native Path Collagen has only type 1 and 3 collagen, the most important types, making up 90% of your body's collagen. No artificial sweeteners, just pure third-party tested goodness. It's completely flavorless, so you can just add it to about anything, your coffee, your smoothies, oatmeal, or whatever you want. And the best part is that Native Path's peptides formula makes it more bioavailable, so it means your body will absorb it easily. Start your journey to healthier skin today. Get nativepath.com/Dana and stock up on Native Path Collagen and save up to an incredible 45% off plus free shipping. Every order includes a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free. Don't miss out. Head to getnativepath.com/Dana. Our partners are bringing you the program. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec. If you have not checked out the new 5.7 that they came out with, you got to. It's the latest and greatest from Kel-Tec. And they've changed concealed carry in 95. Now they got the PR-57 rotary barrel pistol. It's chambered in 5.7. They're just redefining the game. It's the lightest, literally the lightest 5.7 I've ever held in my ever-loving life. It's 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7. It has a top-loading design, so it replaces traditional magazines with literal stripper clips. That gives it a slimmer carry profile, and you also got a 20+1 capacity. It's kind of insane and awesome all at the same time. It's built to perform when it matters, and it's engineered for simplicity and reliability. Quickest and easiest field strip that you can get. And MSRP is legit $399.
It's only $3.99. That's insane. I mean, yeah, you can get it. Go get it. It's the PR57, the new one from Kel-Tec, kel-tecweapons.com. That's where you can go to learn more. KELTEC weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.